Reformation Sunday is a tradition that goes back in the Lutheran Church hundreds and hundreds of years. It is our reminder of the fact that something very momentous and significant happened just a little over 500 years now. We're past that 500-year mark by a few years. And of course, as people who have taken on ourselves the name Lutheran, perhaps more appropriately, we're given the name Lutheran and learn to live with it, we bear a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous gift. And that is the notion of salvation that comes through grace, through faith, through Christ alone. And that if we are quite serious about what it is that we believe, we recognize the simple fact that we are exactly as St. Paul considered us, each and every one of us, sinners. And yet, because we are those who have been justified by the grace of Jesus Christ, we are each and every one of us saints. And so this is the complex world of being a Lutheran. I was listening to a speaker the other day, and he was talking about misconceptions that we have about Jesus Christ and his task, his work, what it was that he came into this world to do. And ways that we talk about Jesus that are helpful versus ways that we talk about Jesus that are not helpful. He says one of the unhelpful ways that we talk about Jesus is we talk about Jesus being the sort of person who happily would socialize with the outcasts. He would socialize and eat with the tax collectors and the sinners. And he says that's not actually accurate. They ate with him. That's kind of an important designation to make, that Jesus Christ came to serve them, that Jesus Christ came to proclaim a new gospel to them, Jesus Christ came to reconcile them. Of course, when we're talking about sinners in the sense of them, we're also talking about ourselves, aren't we? Because St. Paul was quite clear that we all sit in the seat of sinner because none of us have perfectly kept God's word. So Jesus goes to have dinner with Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector in this region of Israel. Not just a bad guy, but a boss of the bad guy, a bad guy of bad guys. Christ did not do this because he seemed to think that Zacchaeus would be a lot of fun to spend time with. He did not do this with the intention that Zacchaeus might have the opportunity to maybe learn some good habits from Jesus. He wasn't there to teach Zacchaeus to be a better tax collector. He was there to return Zacchaeus back to God's company. He was there to reform. He was there to reform Zacchaeus. And the same can be very much said of Martin Luther. Luther did not engage in the act of challenging the Roman Catholic Church for the purpose of fixing the Roman Catholic Church. He did not challenge the Roman Catholic Church for the purpose of correcting and chastising the Roman Catholic Church. He engaged in the act of reformation in a desire that all might receive the grace of Jesus Christ and be reunited with God, our Father in heaven. Every Lutheran in every church in Germany, well, Saxony at the time, but every Christian in every church everywhere in the world, right up to and including the Pope himself. It was never Luther's intent to cause a division. It was Luther's intent to cause a healing, a reunification of those who were outside of the grace of Jesus Christ back into the good graces of God our Father in heaven by receiving the gift that is offered freely to every single person from Jesus Christ on the cross, the gift of forgiveness and renewal, the opportunity to be made whole. We live in a world that is fractured. And I don't just mean in the sense that we live in a world that has a hard time connecting to God, although that is very, very, very much true. I mean, we live in a world that is truly, wholly, and completely fractured. We are divided. Our speaker last week, Pastor Jordan Long from the nation of South Sudan, spoke to our Sunday school class and to myself quite a lot about what was going on and why the things that were happening in Sudan were happening in Sudan. And he mentioned that one of the principal problems was that Africa is still a very tribal-based place, in the sense that even though these are perfectly modern countries, those old alliances of tribe and ethnicity remain. And he pointed out one of the things as he and I were having lunch that day. I said to him, I'm kind of curious, what language is it that the people where you live speak? What's the principal language? Because I really don't know very much about the area. And he laughed and he says, in my region, we speak up to 46 different and distinctive dialects and languages. He said, 46 different languages? He says, in Ethiopia alone, there's at least that many. And then you bring Sudan and South Sudan in, that number probably goes up considerably. I said, well, what language do people speak then? Is it just you don't understand your neighbor and your neighbor doesn't understand you? He says, well, yes, it does actually happen quite a lot. He says, but in the refugee camps, English. I said, English. He says, yes, it's actually the official language of South Sudan. I said, English is the official language of South Sudan? He said, well, if it weren't, then we'd have to pick one of the tribes. We'd have to pick one tribe whose language, but oftentimes mean entirely different things when we say the same words. We live in a country in which the divisions are so great and so dramatic that, and I've noticed this in the current political spree of commercials that we're having, which I think I can speak for everyone when I say I will be very glad when election day comes and goes and we don't have to see these commercials anymore. But I've noticed that oftentimes one group will portray their opponent in such negative and awful terms, and they'll say they stand up for this and they stand for that and they stand for this other thing, and they'll say it as though it is the greatest of all possible things that an evil could be done to do those things. And then the commercial will come on for the opponent and it'll say they stand for these things and those things and these things, and that makes them the greatest of all people. Both sides have said the exact same thing. We can't even agree on what defines good within our political system. How can we choose political leaders who do public good if the good that the public determines is in opposition to the good that the rest of the public determines? Fragmentation, division, anger, hatred, death. These are all the things that Jesus Christ came to overcome, to give us a common bond, and that we are to be bonded together, as Paul says in today's lesson, that we are neither Jew nor Gentile any longer. Neither are we of one nation, one tribe, one political affiliation or another, but we are one in Christ. This was the goal of the kingdom of God, was to bring unity to a disunified world. Martin Luther was not trying to start the Lutheran Church. In fact, when Martin Luther's name was attached to the church, he was very upset about this because his essential feeling was, who am I that someone would name themselves after me? Luther was a good deal more colorful in his language about that. I believe he referred to himself as nothing but a mere bag of worms. Why would anyone take upon his name? Like I said, Luther liked some colorful language. The Christian church that would become the Lutheran church in Luther's day, there are many places around the world yet, call themselves the Evangelical Church. Evangelical comes from the Greek word euangelizomai. It was the very first word that every Lutheran seminarian learns in Greek is euangelizomai. Partially because it's just fun to say once you get the hang of it. But partially because it is the foundation for what we do as a church. You, when it is spelled with an E-U, in Greek means good. You can see the word angel right in angle. Good message. It's a my meaning to take upon yourself the task of. So euangelizomai, or evangelical, means to take upon yourself the task of proclaiming the good news. So what is it that the Lutheran Church wanted to call itself? It wanted to call itself the Church of Good News. And the good news that the Lutheran Church wanted to bring to the world was the notion of reconciliation to God through faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else. And I find sometimes I have this awkward conversation with Lutherans who are lifelong Lutherans that I sort of feel like ought to know better. And oftentimes I'll have this conversation in the worst of all places. I'll have it in a nursing home or a hospice care unit, where they will be talking about the fact that they are facing their own mortality. And they will say something to me very much along the lines of, I hope I go to heaven, I've done my best to be a good person. The Lutheran in me has the same effect as fingernails on a chalkboard when I hear that. Our salvation is not born of being better than our neighbor. Our salvation is not born of being perfect as human beings, because none of us are, only Christ alone was. Our salvation is not born of an inflexible moral code that we enforce upon ourselves and upon others. Our salvation is based on Christ Jesus alone and his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Salvation is simply that, that all who believe in Jesus Christ are saved. And that is what Zacchaeus felt when he was in Jesus' presence. Zacchaeus recognized himself as the sinner that he was and understood the salvation that Jesus Christ was bringing, believed and was saved. And this is important. It did not leave Zacchaeus unchanged. What did Zacchaeus say to Jesus and the disciples and all those who doubted him in that moment? He says, if I've defrauded anyone, I will pay back four times what I owe. It changed Zacchaeus' heart such that he wanted now to not only keep God's law, not only do the right thing, but do the best thing that he could do. Be the best version of Zacchaeus he could be. It changed him from being a person who supported corruption and evil into a person who wanted to do nothing but bring righteousness and goodness to this world. See, when we talk about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ transforming us into those who are saved, it also transforms us into those who obey God's word, not out of fear of some form of recompense, not out of a desire to manipulate the divine hand into giving us a reward that we want in heaven, but out of gratitude, out of thankfulness, and most importantly, out of love. Zacchaeus did not do what he did in order to manipulate Jesus into giving him salvation. Zacchaeus did what he did because he'd received salvation and his heart was filled with joy. So as Lutherans, what we're called to spread to this world is that same message. The message of reconciliation. The message of God's salvation. And the knowledge that when we receive this, that Christ calls us to live joyfully his law out in this world in a way that is transformative, maybe even excessive, but amazing and fulfilling. Amen.